In this session, we are dealing with chapter 10, the separation process in HRM. Separation process is a legal termination of the contractual agreement between employee and employer. So when a person is leaving the company or asked to leave, that process is called as separation. Now, this has assumed a lot of dimensions in the recent years. There used to be two types of separation in the past. One was a resignation, the other one was retirement. Very rarely we had, you know, people getting sacked, people getting laid off. Now, there are new terminologies that have come in the separation process, and all this is discussed in this particular module. So, we'll be discussing the objectives of the session is to discuss types of separation and how to manage separation effectively. Now, managing separation is a very important thing because, you know, it is involving human emotions. When you work in the company, there are some set of emotions you attach with the company. When you retire, you have emotions you're carrying outside the company that affects you. When you're in the company also, there are certain types of, you know, behaviors and all that affect you. When the company asks you to go, there are stronger things that happen to you. So separation is not a very happy process. Even when an employee is leaving a company which he does not like, or in a company where he has some issues with some boss or something which is not unpalatable, people who are listening to me, you will agree that leaving even a company which was not so palatable, there is a certain emotion that you have. Even while you are going to a better company, you still feel that, yes, I am leaving something. A little tinge of, you know, sadness, if I can use the word, does happen during separation. That is human nature. And if you're in a corporate, you're not an exception. Just as it happens in our personal lives, it happens in corporates also. So separation process is a very tricky thing. It requires a lot of maturity to handle. People who are handling separation processes in HR departments and also other user departments have to handle it very gracefully. The human dignity, the human element cannot be lost. You have to maintain it so well, and people have to be given a very beautiful farewell or a send-off when they leave the company. Structure of the session will include what is separation, we'll define it, types of separation, managing separation effectively, how to reduce attrition, the rate at which people are leaving frequently, joining in frequently numbers, that's attrition. There'll be some related reading as usual and summary. Now, what is separation? Separation occurs when an employee leaves the organization. It could be voluntary or involuntary. Involuntary means I leave on my own. Involuntary means I am asked to go. When separation is voluntary, the initiative for the separation is taken by the employee, while the involuntary separation is by the employer. Separations make organizations leaner and reduce overheads. Leaner means number of manpower reduces, so it becomes slim, lean. When number of people are reduced, what happens to the overheads? The wage bill gets reduced, and other things on which we spend on the people, it gets reduced. This is just a statement. The purpose of separation is not for this, but this is what is the ensuing result. Let's discuss voluntary separation, which consists of resignations and quits, as you call it. Employee resigns or decides to quit when he is totally dissatisfied with the job, also the boss, as many of you know, suffers from ill health, spouse has relocated, or he has secured a better job elsewhere. A few reasons are given here. There are many more reasons. So he leaves on his own. Retirements, on the other hand, happens when the employee reaches the end of the career. At the age of 58 or 60, there's a age called superannuation. We have to retire. That is a law. Benefits like pension, gratuity or provident fund are available to a retiring employee. It's an amicable process. It's a process which is quite friendly. It's something which, you know, there is a lot of, you know, positive emotions and a lot of, you know, connectedness, compassion. So many things come into picture. Retirement. Okay. Now, involuntary separations are quite different. Involuntary separations happen when the employers ask the employees to leave. And when do they ask them to leave? When the organization is passing through financial adverse conditions. We have been seeing this in last so many years. Companies are going through slowdown. Companies are about to shut down, so they have to tell people to go. So it could be happening when the companies are financially down. Employees show deviant behavior deviant behavior means something which is not expected from them, something which is nonsensical, something which is not a part of the legal process. They misbehave. It happens in industrial units, for example, right? So workers are misbehaving. They burn down the plant and they, you know, kill people, officers and other workers also. Now that is unexpected. That is not a good behavior. That is a very, very rude behavior. And those behaviors, when people display, they could be sacking them, right? Indiscipline. Faulty hiring results in mismatch between job and employee. HR people and recruiters do make their human errors. And the human errors, in spite of careful consideration to the recruitment process, sometimes we recruit a wrong person. And we find that that person doesn't fit into the job. We try various methods of, you know, training him, giving him skills and all. Something about him is not clicking as far as the company is concerned. So we may have to ask him to leave. Involuntary separation takes place as in what forms? One is discharge or dismissal. This term discharge or dismissal is used when there's an excessive absenteeism. The person stays away from work without even giving any information, notice about why staying away from work. He doesn't even inform prior to his absenteeism. Serious misconduct, something in terms of his behavior, bad behavior in the company, some harassment or some sort of misbehavior, indiscipline. Theft of company property, taking away things from the company home or, you know, going and selling it to make personal gains. Some espionage, which is to do with taking the company's secrets, classified documents and giving it to competitors, or doing something very damaging for the company's reputation, health and its own life. And submission of false data on the recruitment. This is very common these days. You know, people are coming out with tele-interviewing, and they have various ways of, you know, recruiting and hiring people. During this time, it has been noticed, number of people, especially youngsters, they give false data and they get recruited. Number of cases have got exposed, and the newspapers also, we say, read some of these things. Now, when you come across this particular type of a situation where a person has submitted a false information and you are able to prove it, then you have to discharge and dismiss him, because that's not correct. That is unethical. Layoff is a next involuntary separation we talk about. Employees are laid off for a certain period of time. Here it's a temporary separation. A certain period of time he is laid off when the organization is faced with recession, that is slowdown and loss of production because of no orders, shortage of raw material, accumulation of stocks or any such reason. In a layoff, 50% of the normal wages are payable as compensation during layoff. So that the employees are covered under Industrial Disputes Acts of 1947. It's mandatory you have to pay 50% of the normal wages. Normally employees are laid off based on the seniority. Those with shortest service period are laid off first. Last in, first out. LIFO. So the employees who came in recently, they are the first to get laid off. And the last to get laid off will be the senior most people. That's a normal practice that is followed. Then we have retrenchment. Employees are retrenched permanently when they become surplus due to automation, change in products or closure of a department, etc. Retrenched employees are entitled to compensation. When you find that the labor is too many, we don't need them anymore. And they are not upgrading the skills either. They become excess. That then the company has a very friendly dialogue with them and they have to retrench them and they give them a good package also. So that there's no ill feelings. Noticeable fact is that most people feel that giving huge amount of money will take care of the emotions, but it is not always true. But that is the best a company can do. So they give them enough of money, they treat them well also, and some of them even revisit the companies once in a while to talk to them. So now there's a connection, the bond doesn't get completely severed. So there is a certain type of a bond that keeps going on, so that the feel good doesn't go away. Voluntary retirement scheme, here the surplus labor is reduced by paying hefty compensation to employees agreeing to retire prematurely. Okay, now VRS is different from retrenchment. In a VRS, you are making an offer to them that please voluntarily retire. Your retirement age may be 58, but you may be at the age of 50 and the company says that we are giving you a package which is much more attractive than a retrenchment package. So why don't you leave now? And that bargain will give you some very good, you know, we'll give you a feel good package. So leave before retirement so that we are able to give you some good package. Now this is an involuntary thing wherein people may or may not accept it. But in most cases, in the recent past, people have accepted it because they give really hefty packages. And the schemes have to be handled tactfully to ensure that the competent employees do not quit the organization. There are two things. In one pharmaceutical company, about 8 or 9 years back, MNC, it so happened that the VRS scheme was spreading for 3 or 4 years. And they offered packages at varying levels of, varying rupee levels. And at every level, we found the talent was getting lost. The first package was appeared to be a very high level. So quite a few employees wanted to leave. But then there was some sort of an indirect discussion by which the good employees were asked to stay back. Now, eventually, all the good employees had to leave at the end, last package, wherein they had to, they were paid hefty compensation, much more than what the first people got. Now, this is something which, you know, it's a push-pull situation wherein I have, on one hand, a good package offered to me. I'm a good employee. The company wants me, they don't want me to leave. So, they do not offer me VRS. Whereas the money is so tempting that I'll take the money, I'll join another company and become useful there. So, this is a very tricky thing. And we need a good HR person, rather IR person, industrial relations person, to handle a VRS very effectively. Downsizing means reducing the size of the workforce. It involves several employees and is adopted when organization incurs losses over a period of years or when organization is restructured. When the company has to go through, it's a form of a growth strategic policy. One of the strategies we use in growth is to ensure that certain resources are properly taken care of, optimally utilized. So one of the things is downsizing, wherein the number of people who are working in a company, we may have to reduce the numbers because we are going in for a newer technology or a new line of business. In this case, it should be handled carefully because of its negative impact. It affects employee morale as the surviving employees experience loss of identity, colleagues and security. You know, we talk about the feelings which the person who leaves, he goes through some feelings. We talk about that. But it is also important to know that the colleagues who are working with the people who are staying in the company, those colleagues inside also have similar type of a withdrawal feelings. Now that can affect the work. The morale can come down. In a department of say 10 people, say 4 are being asked to go. The remaining 6 are working. First and foremost, the work pressure increases. Second, there is a certain type of a disconnect. Something, you know, seems to be not okay. And many studies have proven that when a VRS takes place or when some downsizing takes place, rather, the department goes through some amount of, you know, churning, emotional churning. And for some period of time, you know, the work starts suffering in terms of output. But if you have very good HR people and excellent motivators at the supervisory level, then things may come back to normal. There is a certain type of a finesse with which this has to be done. Okay? Also, planned economic benefits do not always materialize. Economic benefits do not always help people in staying back or going away. There is something more than that. There is a bonding. If you work in a company for more than 5 or 6 years, and bonding automatically comes. Even if you don't work in a company for 5 or 6 years, you are associated with an organization for more than 5 or 6 years, there is a bonding that automatically happens. That bonding is something that cannot be evaluated in money terms. How to manage separation effectively? Employee separation needs to be handled with sensitivity, discretion and speed so that exits can happen smoothly and on good terms. This requires a lot of maturity. Ex-employees are the most effective brand ambassadors for the company. When an employee is leaving a company and he leaves with a bad taste, he goes and spread the word to people. Now, instead of that, if the employee, when he's leaving the company, he goes with a very good feeling about the company. Whether it's a voluntary separation or involuntary separation, when he carries good feelings and good picture about the company, he goes and spreads outside. So, he becomes an ambassador of the company, the brand ambassador of the company indirectly outside. Exiting employees present a wealth of valuable feedback and insights into the organization's strengths and weaknesses. The exiting employee, the people who are leaving, you know, whenever you're leaving a company, what happens? You're talking to the boss at the time of resignation. So that time you don't have any fear and you blast out, you say whatever you want to say. I'm not saying you have to do it. Most people do it. At that time, people talk about everything openly without even having the fear that you may get into some trouble. Now, such people leave behind a lot of valuable information. They tell them things which nobody must have told them to the management. This important data about employer has to be collected through exit interviews of leaving employees. So, we have a thing called exit interview. Now, exit interview was not prevalent long, long back, but it's there in most of the very good companies today. Exit interview gives an opportunity to the employee to say something about the company, to give his candid, open feedback about what he thinks about the company, and he can present his case at the time of exiting. And he can give information to the company so that the company can will not repeat the mistakes which it did during his time and thereby prevent a person like him from leaving. It's a very good feedback, provided companies learn to use the feedback constructively. Exit interview should be mandatory for all leaving employees. It should be mandatory, but it is not mandatory in many places. Just recently, about 2 days back, I got a news from one of my ex-students working in a middle management level. In a very good company, summarily the person was asked to go overnight. Everything about that person was locked and it was not given to him. Now that type of an exit, that type of person does not have even a scope for exit interview. And a good employee at that. He was shocked. He's going through he's not feeling good about him, about the whole thing. Right? Now, that is why it should be made mandatory. It should have structured set of questions like reasons for leaving. Why are you leaving the company? Could you stay back? Okay. Best points about the job. What are the good things about the job that you enjoyed being in? The worst points about the job. The best points about the organization. The worst points about the organization. If given a chance, would you like to come back later under renewed conditions? What would make the organization better? Is there some ways of improving the organization? Unfortunately, what people do is they don't ask these questions when people are still working. Even if they ask this question, employees are afraid to answer because all employees at all levels are afraid that what I say may be used against me. This openness of talk is very rare in organizations when the company employees are still working with them. At the time of exit, they talk many things and then suddenly people start realizing, oh my God, we never knew about this. Why did you not tell us before? Nobody will tell anything to the company before as long as you're working in the company. They'll never do that. This is human nature. Right? Next, we talk about attrition. Attrition can be reduced by retaining high performers through innovative reward scheme while engaging in human resources planning to ensure that only a few employees occupy difficult to replace positions. Attrition phenomenon has come in for various reasons. Number one, company culture is not HR friendly. They want people, they don't want the people. Number two, the organization is growing like crazy and they keep on hiring people left, right and center. As a result of which, they are not hiring the person for the job, they are hiring any person for the job. So sometimes the qualification becomes a problem, the experience becomes a problem, integrity becomes a problem, many issues come up. There are numbers, but the numbers are not qualitative. So such people, and they are not committed either. At the time of interview, we are desperate to get people, so we hire people. And after we hire, we are giving them some sort of a training, and they don't get training adequate enough to feel belonging to the company. They come like travelers, they use the company for a few days or months, and then they quit. That too, not one or two, in numbers they come and numbers they go. A common phenomenon in BPOs. Now, this attrition, if you want to check, the first thing is, let the company work under a scale. The company should work under a scale, which means, it's very greedy for organizations to grow in the name of growth in the market. It's quite greedy. It is important to grow, but growth cannot happen at the cost of your own company's ill health. Or health rather. See, a company is small and nice and manageable. It gets ambitious and wants to grow. Nothing wrong in getting ambitious. But can I grow proportionate to my resources? Optimum utilization of available resources. Can I do that? If I want 100 people, let me hire 100, maybe 120 people. When I want 100, I'm thinking of 1000 and I hire 1000 people. I get some temporary projects, high level projects. After the project is over, these guys are given all secondary jobs or they're asked to go. Is that good management practice? My answer is a flat no. Instead, take a small job, hire the right people and motivate them and give them all the attention which is required so that they are staying in the company. We do come across some very large major IT majors in India where the packages are not very high, but then people want to stay there because the culture of the company is highly, highly good. It supports learning, it supports innovation, it supports a lot of things. And employees don't want to leave them unless there is a very good juicy offer outside, which is very rare. I know people who joined that organization and they don't leave for till a long term, till about 20, 25 years, some of them retire with the organization, although they don't pay very well. They are not great paymasters. Okay? Succession planning is the next one. Succession planning is nothing but when we are moving up the corporate ladder, when one position gets occupied, when one position gets vacant, it needs to be filled up by someone else. And then the senior position also gets vacant, somebody has to fill up. So succeeding from bottom to top is a succession plan. Now this can happen by default as and when the vacancies come, or it can happen by design. When you design it, it is called a succession planning. Especially in middle and senior management levels, we need to identify who will take charge tomorrow on the top. In Infosys, for example, we had the succession planning just got over, right? So we had the first level of entrepreneurs who started Infosys, Narayan Murthy and his group. And then gradually, one by one, they have served their term. And then now a new team has come up, succession planning. Now they had to identify, it was a long process actually. So many companies need to have their succession planning. The reason being, it is good to have homegrown people from within the company who know the company culture and the way of working to take up leadership position in the company. Succession planning for top positions is required to identify, develop, retain and allocate key members of the workforce before any talent gap occurs. This is a very sound process to replace key vacancies, very important vacancies. Most of the succession planning programs include involvement and commitment of the top management. They have to be totally involved. They appoint consultants from abroad or somewhere else or from India. High level review of the succession plan. They need to review exactly what they want. See, remember one thing, at the leadership level, to have another person who is exactly like you and drives the company to the same success which you have driven, it is difficult to get. It's not behavior alone. There are so many factors you have to take into account. Succession planning takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of research. And we need to really scan around the country, scan around the world to really look for successors who will fit in the role of the existing successful leader. It's very important. Formal assessment of the performance and potential of the candidates with written specific development plans for individual candidates. This is a very important long-drawn process. It takes time. Formal assessment of the performance and potential of the candidates with written specific development plans for individual candidates. How well he has been successful in the past. Success is not about churning profits for the company. It's not about building brand for the company. It's something more than that. Has he been a part of the top management thinking culture? Is he a man of integrity? Is he in line with what the company wants? Can we safely say that he's a natural brand ambassador of the company? Now those are the things. Now we know certain business leaders in India, for example, of banks, of IT companies, you know, the moment you mention the name, they immediately you talk about them as men of integrity and you identify their company with that name. There are a lot of people in the world of advertising. It is there. It's there in the world of banking. It is there in the world of even engineering industry. Everywhere you find that you just name a company and you can immediately think of the person, because that's how they are an integral part of it. The person and the company cannot be separated. Now, that's the type of people we want at the level when they take over. When somebody takes over, we need a person of that level, right? Succession planning efforts need to be integrated into organization's strategic overall business plans. This is a top level initiative. You don't take any Tom, Dick and Harry. You take somebody who fits into your cultural thinking. Somebody who comes with a lot of, you know, understanding about how this company has to be taken further from where it came from. That's very essential, right? Then we talk about career development. It refers to the formal approach used by an organization to ensure that employees with proper qualifications and experience are available when needed. One of the ways, what is a career development? The company may, the employee is working and the employee needs to go through some growth in the company upwards. Now, one of the tools for career development is to send them for training programs or send them for courses in B schools like this, and they do a management development training or something through which they develop newer skills, manager skills, and they go back and they are able to develop their career pretty well. So they go up the ladder. And the career development should be a carefully thought out plan wherein people are told and they are also rewarded on career growth. HR undertakes some significant initiatives like career planning, workshops, counseling, mentoring, personal development plans and career workbooks to achieve these objectives. Career development benefits both employees as well as organizations, as properly developed employees add value to themselves and to the organization. It is a most important effective retention tool and one of the greatest motivators to keep employee happy and engaged. When I know for sure that in this company I'll grow. This IT major I was talking about some time back, in that company people grow. And people know for sure that there's career growth for us. So they would feel very good to work there, and they will feel very, their morale will be pretty high. Now, when you know for sure that there is a prospect from in the company where I'm working, why would you leave the company? Okay? Employees have a clear career track, know the obstacles they need to overcome and final goal to be reached. It is a major HR step to build intellectual capital. Now, they are using the word intellectual capital because most of the cases, this is true with industries which is having intellectual capital as a basic resource. Human beings, IT and ITES companies. Now, we are called to the related reading, how to handle employee resignation. Every resignation from whichever employee is a cause of disruption in the operations. HR has to rush to handle a team which is losing its member. The first task here is to distribute responsibilities among the remaining members. Next is to seek replacement that is acceptable to the team. HR has to ensure that the new entrant and the team are comfortable with each other. When a new entrant comes, the team gets a little disturbed. The new entrant is also disturbed. It takes time for them to fitment. While dealing with employee who has resigned, HR has to tie loose ends and bring about a positive transition and in no way demotivate the team. Whenever a person is leaving the team has to get prepared so that they don't feel demotivated. That's the role of the HR. I wouldn't say only HR. I think all the related departments, everybody, the HOD, all have to prepare. A common meeting by HR of the team with the leaving member needs to be arranged to resolve grievance, if any, and to maintain productivity at an earlier high levels. Now, here another related reading we are talking about is life after layoff. Imagine that you have been laid off. You have been asked to go. VRS has happened to you. In most of the Indian cases, historically, it has been proven that after layoff, people do not know what to do. They get depressed. They have a lot of money, but they do not have a direction and a goal. That's why I always say, if you have a goal in life, even when you are out of job, you know what to do. People make working from 9 to 5 as a goal, making money as a goal, and when money is not there and 9 to 5 is not there, they have nothing to do. That's why when you work in an organization, ask yourself a question, what skills do I have which will sustain me even after retirement? Some skills you need to have which is saleable. Because after that thing happens, this, what we are explaining right now, will not happen to people. People become directionless. They are clueless about where they are going. They suddenly become aged very fast. They get into very irritating behavior. And then they lose all the money because some stupid fellow will come and give them counseling saying that put the money here, put the money there. And they do not know. They do not have entrepreneurial skills either. It has happened to many people who went through VRS in quite a few occasions. Layoff or downsize are terms that are quite familiar now to Indian workers. When layoff happens, affected worker is taken by surprise and rarely has financial power to tide over the unexpected vacation. This is in terms of the layoff which is coming unannounced where there is no VRS. The package is not assured, it doesn't come to you. A laid off employee has to remember that he is not the only one to suffer this loss, and there was nothing personal about that made him lose the job. It has to be viewed as an opportunity to introspect and start afresh. This is easily said than done. The point is, if you are being a victim of layoff, you go through negative energy. There is some, you feel little bad about it, but then you have to sit down and introspect. What can I do next? What next? Do I start getting stuck in this? I need to do something different. So you need to introspect. And through introspection, you'll arrive at something which will tell you, okay, here's the direction you need to go. Again, as a separation process, my suggestion is that when you're going through a phase like this, first sit down and reflect positively. When you go and spread this word to too many people, they'll give you all their inputs. And whenever you're weak, when inputs come to you, you'll take a wrong decision. Be very careful about it. It's important that you introspect. First, laid off employees need to attend to the finances and plan to manage bare household expenses for at least 6 months. This is the author's view. Next, he should tap the contacts and websites to seek a new job. These are some steps given to you. Employee has to ensure that all rightful dues are fully collected from ex-employer. It helps us stay calm and be among friends and well-wishers. Never fall prey to any addiction. When you're out of job and you have a lot of money and you don't have a substance inside you, you may get addicted to anything. So that addiction may take you away from the life itself. You've got to be very careful about it. Normally, there are always early signals about impending layoff or downsizing. It is a time when you should be in constant touch with supervisors and get their feedback. You've got to have the sensing skills. If you're working in a company which you think is about a layoff, you get to know from grapevine, from various sources. So forewarned is forearmed. So once you come to know it's happening, take some steps so that it doesn't come like a blow. It doesn't come like a sudden blow to you. So you must be a little intelligent enough to plan it. Set up your own networking both inside and outside the office. Update your resume, tailor-made to suit the job for which you are going to be applying. And this can perhaps open new gates to your career growth. People who get too emotional about the company where they work, and there are many of them, they go through a lot of withdrawal and they get into lots of such negative energy and they start, feeling bad about themselves, bad about the world, they get cynical. Now, my recommendation is that, one has to be loyal to one's own career, what he or she does. It's important that, you do your job pretty well and you're going to develop competencies and skills in such a way that at no point of time your market value is lost. You should be in a position to say that, okay, if this company doesn't take me, somebody else will take me, or if nobody takes me, I can do something of my own. Now, this sort of a power, this sort of a individual power you need to create for yourself. You have the skills in you, you have the competences in you, but you don't realize it. See, when we work in an organization, we develop skills for the organization, not for ourselves. This is something that doesn't come to light to many people. Now ask yourself a question, those skills which are developed for the organization, is it working for me today when I'm out of the company? And you'll get a plain no for an answer. What are the skills you have in you which will make you stand alone and yet live your life pretty well with a lot of smile on your face? This is what one needs to keep on asking even when one is working in an organization. We have to be loyal to the organization. We have to give our best. We must build the brand. We must do all necessary excellent activities for the company. But getting excessively emotional, this layoff becomes a major trauma for people. Separation, now we come to the summary. Separation occurs when an employee leaves the organization. It can be voluntary or involuntary. Resignations and retirements fall in the category of voluntary separation. Whereas discharges, layoffs, retrenchments fall in the category of involuntary separation. An organization manages turnover by separation through the retention strategies. An exit interview is a process to elicit the views of the exiting employee. A very important thing which many companies are now adopting. Career development and succession planning are some of the strategies adopted by the organization to retain high performance employees. See friends, today people don't go up the ladder just like that. There's a careful planning done. And HR has really become very focused. HR has to do a lot of things more. But today it has become a defined program. Separation process is a very emotional process. When you leave on your own, you have an emotion. When people leave you, there is a stronger emotion. So this has to be handled properly. In fact, separation process, my dear friends, the suggestion is that let it be handled by people who are having age experience. A slightly middle-aged and an elderly person who is emotionally intelligent. Because this can be very traumatic. Okay friends, now with that, we come to the end of this module. Thanks a lot.